Praise you, Lord. Yes, we will. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, before we start to get into the Word, I'd like just to share a testimony, as my mother has reminded me. You've probably been aware over the last few weeks that we've been under attack, and the enemy has really tried to put this chest infection, this virus thing that's been going around, and praise God that he enabled me to be able to keep going and to come and stand behind the pulpit and preach. And I tell you, it was a battle, but God is faithful. But the enemy then tried with my mother, and to cut a long story short, you know, with these terrible bugs, you're up and down with them, and you know, you never know where you stand with a virus. And of course, in the natural, what is needed is antibiotics. But last week, I had to go down to Wiltshire, where I do a course there once a year for 4 days, where I'm teaching art and so forth. And on the Wednesday, I rang through, and Mother wasn't too good. And she said she'd had a very, very bad night, rough night. So I said, well, look, do you want me to come back? No, no, I'm trusting the Lord. And Anne, Sister Anne, was going in on Thursday. So, of course, I rang Anne, and she said, don't worry, Kim. She said, the Lord's on the throne. Your mother's, you know, looking to the Lord. So praise God, because I was due to return on the Friday. Well, praise God, we looked as though things were getting better over the weekend. And then last week, about Tuesday, my mother then progressively got worse. And I went to the meeting on Wednesday down to Andover, and I knew she wasn't too well that day, and there was a high temperature coming on and off, and I thought, you know, we're in a battle. And I'd been seeking God and just praising him. When I came back, she was in a poor state. She was in bed, very high temperature, and was beginning to get back trouble. And I thought, I know what this is. The enemy is trying to put pneumonia on her. And having had that myself, I just got before God and I just cried out to the Lord, because you know, you're weak, you have the Word, you know the principles of faith, you know it's God's heart's desire to heal, to deliver us, to set us free. But I just knew I had to touch God. And I just had to go in the Spirit, in tongues, fall on my knees. And I cried out. I just felt in myself so weak. There was nothing there. But I said, Lord, we walk by faith and not by sight. I just kept going in the Spirit, in tongues. And suddenly I knew I was breaking through. I knew that I was just touching God with faith. And with that, I knew this was the time, this was the moment now to take authority over the powers of darkness and this infirmity, this sickness over my mother. And I did so for about 20 minutes, just warring in the Spirit, and I knew we were through. I just knew it. I knew we were through. Well, that night was the worst night we had. My mother didn't sleep. Terrific coughing, which of course you get in the natural with this. I probably had about an hour's sleep, and the enemy was saying, see, it hasn't worked. God hasn't answered your prayers, carrying on and everything, but I knew God had heard. I knew it. Faith knows. And in the morning, when we got up and everything, and in the natural, I felt awful. You know, I went in there, you know, you don't know what to expect. I went in there and I took one look at her and I knew we were going up. We could go no longer, because that was pneumonia setting in. And when you're elderly, that is serious. Believe me, you don't mess about on that, because that takes a lot of people off. And from that point then, we started to see a difference. And she started, her appetite came back, color came back. She got up for lunch that day, cooked a lunch, and she ate a bit of it, and so forth. And it's just been, and yesterday, you should have seen what she ate. You know, the first time in over 3 weeks. So I want to give God the glory. But what I want to say is, you have to touch God with your faith. Where there is healing, wait in the presence of God. It's not just claiming, it's not just confessing, all of that is important. You've got to wait on God, get into His presence, stand before Him, wait upon Him. Just stay there and expect God to speak. Expect Him to move. Expect Him to do something. You see, faith will expect. We don't just apply those principles like a machine. Just like a computer. It is more than that. These principles of faith that we have learned are to teach us that we communicate with a living Heavenly Father who loves us. You see. And so it's not just those principles. We need them and we have needed them. But they become life. They become real. Suddenly as you touch God, faith becomes real. It's no longer just something you read or confess. It is real. That is why I've always said our faith is real. Why is it real? Because it is a gift that God has given to us. So that faith that God has given to us is real. The same as God is real. And which this leads me in to the teaching that I want to share with this morning. And that is, for those of you who are taking notes, that true faith results in a rest. True faith results in a rest. And when I had touched God, that rest, that peace was there. It was anchored. You see, and that is what it is. True faith will result in a rest with God. Whereas you have to touch God, you see. And when you are resting then with God, whatever the enemy is trying to do, that anchoring is there. You are touching God. He is there. That rest is there by faith. And this is important for our walk. And this is what I want us to look at this morning. So tell me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 3. I know we've looked at this in the past, but we do need to go over these principles over and over again to remind ourselves that we walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't matter how you feel, what you hear, what you see, what is going on around you. It is what God has declared and revealed to us through His Word. And so turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. And we'll take it up from verse 7. And it's all about here in the context of being faithful. Being faithful. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear my voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now notice that this is a future thing that God had purposed for the children of Israel. Remember that Israel was to be a nation chosen by God to be an example to the world. To, if you like, evangelize the world. To teach the pagan nations the true one living God. That was the overall vision, work that God had for that chosen nation out of all nations. And remember that they rebelled, they failed that calling upon their life. And that's why I always stick with what Brother Freeman taught, that has that just suddenly disappeared? Has God forgotten all about it? No, the principles of what God intended to do with that nation has come over onto the church. And of course God will restore the nation of Israel back in the last days, but the ultimate working that to be a light to Gentile nations, that principle still must work over the Christian church. It doesn't change. That is why we believe in the promised land. The church must finally, in these last days, enter fully into her inheritance, the promised land that God intended to give to Israel, but she failed it. So sonship, adoption, now is still passed over to us. And the church must fulfill this. That is the call to overcome. That is the deeper life teaching. So I just want to say that in passing. Now I take this up in verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. So there we see, today, hear, listen. That is why God is to sing that song. Do something new, Lord. Today, God can do something new. Whatever you're facing, whatever the circumstances, no matter what it sounds, what it seems like, whatever, today there's still a chance for God to do something new. Today I can enter in by rest, by faith, with what God has for me, and so forth. And he goes on, for who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, and to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief, and unbelief resulted in disobedience. And that's always what it does. If there is not that faith, that rest, then you get disobedience, rebelling against God. And this was it. And it goes on in verse 4. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. So we now see we've skipped many, many generations. The Apostle Paul now is speaking about us also entering into that rest. So people like to think, oh, no, that was only speaking to Israel. That, of course, was only speaking, you know, that rest under the Mosaic covenant. Speaking, of course, of the Sabbath. And, of course, the Sabbath was given under the Mosaic law. The Sabbath was never given under the Abrahamic covenant. So the covenant under law was the Sabbath under Moses. The covenant under Abraham was circumcision. And the two are different. So it's not just speaking to Israel. It is speaking to the church. It speaks to us today. That principle of the Sabbath is still there. Now, of course, we need to understand a little bit about the Sabbath. The Sabbath, of course, is firstly seen in Genesis 2. On the seventh day, God rested. He finished creating on the sixth, and on the seventh, he rested. And so that rest has been given and shown as a sign of a rest. Now, the rest, the revelation of the Sabbath that was given under the Mosaic law, which is very often never stressed, and in my research and study, I'd never fully seen this, but actually, it was given that it would refresh the soul. It was to refresh the soul of the people so that they could focus again on God. They could fellowship. They could commune with Him. Their souls would be refreshed. That's obvious, isn't it? But that was really what it was about. Now, how much more us now, who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, who now walk by faith, and that we are shown that this spiritual rest is for us each day. That is why we walk in relationship, in covenant with God, for the refreshing of the soul, the inner man. And that comes to my point about faith, that faith, conditions for faith to work, must have the heart, the soul, communing with God. I know it may sound obvious, but that is it. That is where the rest is found. And so you must know, when you are believing by faith, or you see a promise by faith, or you're believing by faith, whatever it is, what is your soul, your heart, what is happening at that point? Am I at peace? Am I at rest in faith, believing, or am I wavering, as James speaks about? You see, it's there. God will tell you, He'll show you whether you're in faith or not. He's not a God of confusion, and if we're walking humbly before Him, He will tell us. And if you humbly walk before God, then sometimes you've got to repent. Sometimes you've got to come right back and say, Father, in your mercy, you revealed to me I wasn't in faith, and in my heart deep down I knew I wasn't. And how did I know? Because I wasn't at rest. There was turmoil. Now, most of us have experienced that. And God's allowed us to experience, because He wants to reveal to us what is faith and what is not faith, you see. And that principally was what God was also teaching with the children of Israel. That the children of Israel were to enter into that rest, and part of that rest was the promised land. That milk and honey. That they were to be priests and kings raised up in that day to teach the nations for God to save. But they failed that commission. They failed it. Now God is going to complete it, I believe, through the overcoming church. The culmination, if you like, the completion of this, the revelation of this, is going to be fulfilled through the overcomers. Because God must fulfill that which He has started. That is why God's word goes forth. It never returns unto Him void, incomplete. God is sovereign. What He decrees, whether it takes centuries upon centuries upon centuries, it will still happen and come to pass. You mark my words. So he goes on. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith to those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest as He has said. They couldn't believe because of the hardness of the heart. The soul, the inner man, the heart was not at rest, not at peace. They rebelled. They came against God, so they couldn't come. Notice the same gospel, the same word. They heard it, as well as us. They still had to be justified by faith. Their faith had to be in that atoning sacrifice that they gave. You didn't just offer up a sacrifice. You had to believe in that sacrifice. That sacrifice that they gave was pointing to the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God was still giving Israel a revelation of this. The prophets saw it. You see, that is why Paul could confidently say it's the same gospel in that sense. Now we, of course, who are saved by grace, how much more? God had to deal with Israel very often because of the hardness of their hearts, their rebellion, stiff neck. But we now who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the Godhead himself, God tabernacling with man, how much more? Yet you never hear that emphasized much in churches. Oh, well, God knows we're under grace and mercy, you know, and that's why we've got this liberalistic attitude. But my Bible shows me how much more. And so, because how much more, therefore God is going to place grace and mercy on my life and your life because of how much more. Amen? It's true. It's very true. Else I wouldn't be here, you see. That's why we take these promises so seriously. And they will always challenge us. The Word of God will always reveal that we in ourselves can't keep it. It's impossible. And that's what the Word of God is intended to be. God knew no one could keep this Word. He certainly knew Israel couldn't. But out of it he wanted to reveal his mercy and grace. He wanted to reveal to us that you are kept by the power of God unto the day of Jesus Christ. It's not about you, me. It's about him. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever blessing you have, all you can say is, I can only say, this is what God, Christ in me, has done. I can boast in none of this. The very fact that I'm here today, the very fact that God has enabled me by his mercy to be preaching for nearly 30 years, I can't boast in anything. It's got nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. He's allowed me, enabled me by his infinite mercy and grace. I marvel at it. In myself, I'd have given up years ago. Why? Because we rest by faith. Whatever's happening, whatever the storms are like, right in the midst of it, we rest by faith. That's why Jesus could rest when the storms were raging. And they're waking up, Lord, Lord, don't you realize we're sinking? He was resting. He was revealing he was resting. You know? No, the idea of this rest is meant to cease. To cease from works. To cease from striving. To cease from all those things you are trying to do and build, scheme and plan. That's what it means. That's its understanding. Putting to rest God's rest. That's what it means. Whatever this strife going on, you determine to put it to rest. The rest of God, his rest. Do you realize that this rest that we enter in by faith is the same rest that God rested with on the seventh day? Did you realize? That's why faith must have that. It's not your rest, it is God's rest being worked through you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now if you want that, he'll work that in you. What a blessing. What a blessing when you see the world today, anything but rest. Utter turmoil, confusion, you name it. Look what God is blessing us with to enter in by this rest that works by faith. Because this is where your faith is going to work. Your faith can only be released when you are at rest, at peace, you see. Turn me, if you will, to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 49. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Has my hand not made, or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? In other words, can you give me rest? Can you build something for me to rest? Why no? I have that rest. I am rest. And now you have that rest. See? Religious man wants to, oh, we'll build a house for you, Lord, where you can rest. How religious. How quaint. The point is, you can't. Not at all. God says you enter into my rest. You know, religious people, and I used to do it, used to go into churches, and sometimes you'd see people just sitting quietly in churches, and you know, you go off and sometimes say, oh, you know, it's nice here. Oh yes, I've just come in here. I just want this rest, this peace, this quietness. Isn't it so restful, so peaceful? You talk to people, I can tell you, today or in the week, if you go into a church, you might just see one or two sitting there quietly, and they will tell you why they're in there, for that rest, that peace. Just God's presence. But it's religious. It's a deception. Isn't it sad? But something in them is wanting that communication, that rest, that peace. And God says, I've given it to you. I've given it to you. Israel didn't want it. Do you want it? Well, if you love the Lord, you say, too true. Praise God. I'm entering into it. This is important. Because everything stems from this, you see. You see, this rest, as I said, the true Hebrew meaning to this means to cease from. This, it means that you cease from trying to believe. That is the point. Faith isn't trying to believe. If you are trying to believe, I'm sorry, but you're not in faith. When you are at rest, resting in God, that faith is there. God's presence is there. That ministering one to another in covenant is there. You are not trying to believe. And God says you must cease from that. You see? Back to Hebrews again. I just want to read a few things a bit further with this, in the context of what I'm talking about. Back in Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12. Hebrews chapter 4 verses 11 and 12. He says here, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Notice the word he says, diligent. In other words, take this seriously. Lest anyone fail according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So it's by the word of God. But he says, let us therefore be diligent, lest any of us should not enter or fall of the standard. That's what it means, to actually fall of the standard of this entering into this rest. So it's a warning to us. Although we're blessed, we're hearing this morning, but equally alongside, God says some of you could fail in this. So take diligence. Listen. See? So I heard that prophecy this morning. Follow the steps of Jesus as he moves forward, because we could fall short of this. And this rest is between the believer and God. This rest is a covenant. This rest isn't something that you can get off me, or just get off Full Gospel Assembly, or listening to tapes, whatever it is. Yes, it can point you, but this rest that I'm speaking about is something between you and God. It's about salvation. It's about a walk with the Lord, you see. And God has revealed this rest over and over and over again. This rest has always been presented there since man fell. Man must come back to be at rest and at peace with his Maker and Creator. Because otherwise he will remain in confusion, in doubt, in unbelief and never sure. And that is tragic, what happens to somebody who professes Christ, because that is not what Christ died for. Turn with me also, if you will, to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians. Now, of course, this speaks about being under a tutor, pedagogue, until brought unto faith. And it speaks about that faith which is a rest. That faith then has presented the fact that we can start to mature, we can grow up into sonship. We know what Galatians speaks about. But Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 onwards. Galatians 3, verse 23 onward. But he who was of the... Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one. 23. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Now, of course, Paul, of course, is speaking of the law that was given, that was given to Israel, that was to tutor them, was to actually reveal faith, was to show that we walk by faith. He's showing that after faith has come, we're no longer, in a sense, under tutors, but we're now under Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And that after faith has come, we are no longer anymore under bondage, under law, under tutors in that sense. Why? Because God is now going to tabernacle with man. Your teacher, first and foremost, is the Holy Spirit. He is the anointing. He is your teacher. And therefore, if he is your teacher, you are truly born again, and Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Then whatever anointed ministry God puts behind the pulpit, what you hear is simply to confirm to you what the Holy Spirit is teaching you.
Amen.
That is how God always works. There is something wrong if you have a congregation or you have people who come in and the minister is preaching them something completely new that has not been revealed to them. That is not how God works. In that case, you will have a religious system, and quite often the ministry, the minister, will be exalted and idolized. Why? Because he's the one that's giving out revelation, and their lives are being dependent and built upon man, what man is giving to them. You don't get that in this church. And others who go on, who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, first and foremost, goes before to teach and prepare your heart, and what you are receiving is simply confirming in your life and heart your experience that you have with God. That is one of the ways you discern and test ministry.
Amen.
Does my life experience match up with that I'm hearing? Now, I'm not saying we understand everything, because we are growing, we are developing. But fundamentally, there is the witness of the Spirit. The same as there is the witness in the Godhead. As they are one, they witness. Jesus, when he was upon the earth, he witnessed to the Godhead, to his Father. He said, "I do nothing that only that which is revealed to me. I can say nothing unless it is given." He was revealing the witness. So it is exactly the same with us. You will have the witness. You cannot go against the conscience, the witness in your heart. It is dangerous to do that. You know, sometimes we're never always sure. Well, that's why we wait on God. Or we pray. We take a thing over to God. We wait. So it is that witnessing, that confirming, you see. I can't tell you over the years, the times that people have come or come up to me or phoned me or written to me and said, you know, what you preached or what somebody else preached or whatever, so confirmed. Or they said, how did you know, when you were preaching, I just want to ask you, did you know that I was going through a trial this week? I said, I didn't know. But I said, Lord knew, because it was like you knew. Well, what are we talking about? It's the anointing. God is speaking. He knows, but I don't know. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad I don't know. I don't always want to know what you're going through, because that will hinder me. It's best I don't know. I'm better when I don't know, I don't hear, and I can come behind this pulpit and I can hear from God. And if it speaks into your life, or you've gone through whatever it is, then that simply will confirm more and more that this is the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and He is confirming to you the word, the revelation that you are receiving. You know, I often look back in my life when I was looking towards God about teaching. God was bringing me into the ministry. I was prepared to go to theological college, whatever God wanted. And I heard two tapes from Faith Assembly, and I knew. How did I know? Because it was witnessing in here. I didn't know the theology. I didn't know. But it witnessed. And of course, when I began to make investigation, I realized Brother Freeman had done seminary and everything. And then God spoke to me the second time. He said, you sit under that, and there's where you're going to be taught. God brought it to me. And there it was. And I knew I had the inner witness. And for 4 or 5 years, all the hours that God gave me, because I was working in industry at the same time as well, I was devouring every tape. To be taught, to be built up, and so forth. You see? And I settled it. You know by that inner witness. Why am I stressing this? Because this is all about this rest that you have. Not turmoil, strife, division. It is a rest that comes. God peaceably teaches us. He leads us gently as the shepherd with the sheep leads us gently forward, ever going into those new pastures and so forth. Why? Because it's about our faith. Our faith has got to believe. Our faith has got to reach out. Our faith has got to embrace these promises that God has given. And I'm told there are over 700 of them. And probably only know about 200 of them thus far, but you know, it's ever going on. So I think this rest by faith is absolutely imperative. It's vital for us. And this, of course, is why Satan has this generation in a turmoil. Everybody he talks to, I haven't got time. I don't know where the weeks are going. I haven't done half and a quarter this day. I can't keep up with it. Somebody wants me to do this. At work it's manic. You name it. You know. We've all said it, haven't we? We've all felt it. We've all felt the pressures of it. You think, let me just get away. What is that doing? That is warring against that rest, that peace that God is working in our lives, bringing us into. Now occasionally life is like that. I'm not going to say that you're always every day going to wake up and walk through these wonderful spring forests and hearing the cuckoos and, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful? Talking of a cuckoo, I've not heard a cuckoo this year. Has anybody heard a cuckoo? Well, praise God, I've not heard one this year. And I always feel it's never spring till I hear a cuckoo. Anyway, I don't want to divert. And, you know, but sometimes life is like that. Well, even in the storm. And we know we've been told, haven't we, about these storms, these tornadoes and everything. But right in the core, right in the center, is actually peace. There's hardly any turmoil there. And that's what God gets us into when it's all happening and all happening around us, you see. So it's very imperative, it's very important that faith has these conditions in which to operate. And so, as I've said at the beginning, faith ceases from works. Faith ceases from trying to believe. You know, I get some people saying to me, I'm trying to believe. And I say to them, friends, you don't try. You either have it or you don't. And if you don't, if you haven't got it, then ask. The Lord says, I'll give. Yes. He'll give us that mustard seed. But you don't try and believe, because that's religious. And religious people try to believe, because if you try to believe, you try to be good, you try to do good works, you try to please the Lord, you try to please your brothers and sisters and everything. What bondage! What a life! Have you ever tried to please man? Don't try it, because you never will. I'm not saying that we're not to go that extra mile. I'm not saying that we're to show love where there's a need, whatever. But friends, don't try and please people, because you'll find yourself soon 6 foot under. You will. And that's why people in business, commerce, some of them can only stay for a few years. I was only talking to somebody the other day who's working up in London. And I said, oh, London. He said, yeah. He said, I'll only probably stay in that job 10 years at the most. That's all you're expected to stay in that job in London, particular work he was doing, for 10 years, simply because of the stress of it. I thought, what a life! Anything over that, there's no guarantee you'll live much longer. That's what some jobs are now. Some jobs, when you go for an interview, they'll say, look, you can only be in this for about 10 years, because we know you couldn't take physically anymore. What a life. Oh, they may earn the money in that 10 years, yes. But the point is that God has never created us for that, you see. So don't try and please man in that sense, by good works, because you're just religious, and he will never be grateful. That's the nature of man. No, you do it unto the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. What works we bring forth, the fruit of works, comes as a result of our belief, our rest in God. We are to be fruitful. We are indeed to help. We are to show the fruits of faith. But the point is, it comes out of that relationship. It comes out of that rest, that peace that I have with God. Because it is God doing it through you. Out of those innermost beings shall flow those rivers of living water. Everything flowed out through Jesus. When the woman with the issue of blood touched him, virtue went out of him. What was that all about? And they said, the disciples said, Lord, you know, you've got a lot of people around here. There's an awful lot of people touching you. No, someone touched me. I felt power go from me. That's what we're coming into. Because we can do nothing. Jesus couldn't heal in himself. But the Father was with him. As he touched by faith, he felt power for that healing go out of him. Notice how sensitive he was with his Father, right in the midst of a throng of people pushing in, all wanting to touch him, whatever. But notice that rest he had got. This has to be supernatural. Only God can bring us into that. This is where the greater works is coming. As we start to enter into this, we cannot do this in ourselves. But as we yield ourselves over to the Holy Spirit, he's preparing this, working this in us. And that is why in that hour when we come, and when somebody says, look, you know, I've got somebody sick near unto death, you're not going to get all anxious. Well, we better get to that person as quick as we can. You know, we've only probably got 10 minutes and they'll be dead on us. No, you won't be thinking like that. You will just be moving as the Holy Spirit leads you, because you're at rest, you're at peace. And 3 days later you will find yourself there. Oh, well, you're a bit late now. He stinketh. Know the story? You know? Not perturbed. You think he's dead, don't you? He sleeps. He sleeps. You see, that is it. That is what God is going to do. We're not going to be anxious. God is dealing with that anxiety in our lives. Because anxiety is a killer to entering into that rest by faith. You see? You know, I've had to be honest in certain areas of faith in my life. I've had to really sit down and I've had to examine. It says in Corinthians that we're to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. What does this actually mean? It means you're to sit down and you're to look. You're to go through some things. What has my life been like? Here I am, I've been waiting 6 months. Am I resting by faith? What's been going on in this last 6 months? What I'm believing for? Now, any of you can be honest before God on that. Nobody else can answer that for you. But you can look and say, well, no, I haven't really been at rest. I've been up and down. I've been battling. I've lost peace. I'm holding on to this because you're supposed to. You're supposed to hold on, confess and everything. But if I was to be honest, I can't see that I'm at real peace. Well, praise God, there's hope. Because the Lord's trying to get your attention, saying, I love you, and you're not in faith, and I want you to be. Yeah. The only thing that's hurt is your pride. And what is that? Nothing. We get rid of that. You thank God, Lord, thank you. This time, we're going to get it right. We're going to get it right. You see, our Heavenly Father always gives us chances. That's what I love about God. I have missed it, but God has not given up on me. He said, okay, you've missed it, you've fallen flat on your face, now what are we going to do? Are you going to stay down there in self-pity, in the mire, or are you going to get up and set your face back looking to me, and we'll carry on walking? It's that falling off a horse and getting straight back on it. That is the principle. And I love the Lord for that. Well, I love him anyway, but I love God because that is such a strong thing. And we're to do the same for each other. In a church, saints are going to miss it. But our desire is that they get up and carry on. And we encourage them to look back at Jesus. That is the point. Because God has done it for us. You see? And then that rest, that peace, that fellowship comes back, doesn't it? See? And that's what it's all about. Hallelujah. So this true faith results in this rest that we have with God. You see, I mentioned earlier about that Jesus revealed this rest that he had with his Father. And as Israel was to rest on that Sabbath day, and in time, you know, with the loss of the presence of God, Pharisees, Sadducees, their interpretation of the Sabbath was completely corrupt. And Jesus saw this. And of course they tried to expose Jesus, didn't they? You are not keeping the Sabbath! Couldn't get in there quick enough to expose him, you see? But Jesus was revealing his rest that he had with his Father. And he was showing that it was a relationship, it was the heart, it was the soul, it was the conscience. That was what Jesus was exposing to the Pharisees. And some saw it, and some didn't. Matthew 11:25. And you see, the Pharisees, the religious people, could not see this. They wanted to get at him because he healed the man with the lame arm. But they were failing to see that the rest is about the conscience, is about the soul, is about the heart being right with God. That was what Jesus was exposing. Let's look at this in Matthew 11:25. And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That was what Jesus was trying to reveal that the Sabbath was all about. Rest to your souls. The Pharisees didn't have it. And that was the point. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And there it is. There it is. So what does this really cost us in the light of what Jesus has said? That even Jesus has to give us the gift of faith to believe in the first place. You couldn't even just save yourself. It was God who had to go before and move in your life and my life. And he says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle, lowly. Has it really cost us? Has it really been a life and death situation? No. We've had it easy. We really have. You want to read the Fox's Book of Martyrs? Some really went through it for the faith. Has it cost me? Marginal. I'm only here by the grace of God. I do not know what I've done to deserve this. I'll never understand that. But in the Father's heart, I was there from eternity, the same as you and others. God will have mercy and love upon whom he will have. No man will ever boast in this. You will never be able to boast, I saved myself, I've been good, I've been religious. Look at me, I've gone to church every week for years. I've never. Not if you truly found and seen what God has done. So, as I bring this to a conclusion now, this rest, I've revealed to you now what Jesus was showing, the inner principle of what the Sabbath was really about. This rest of faith can only come when we have that right stand with God. We are in harmony, we are in covenant, we are in relationship and in walk with him. That is the rest. And that is why I say the Sabbath is every day for the believer. Every day you are at rest and at peace. Do we recognize the Sabbath? Well, we live in a Christian nation. They still recognize Sunday as the Sabbath. And we will still, in that sense, go along with it. Because we're free. We're free in Christ. We're free to recognize the Sabbath. We're free not to. I choose to recognize it simply in the sense because it is a witness. And therefore I choose not to do certain things on the Sabbath. I'm free, at liberty. I can do what I want. I could go to work if I want, if I was working. The point is, I simply choose not to do as much as possibly I would normally do in the week, because it sets that example. Because that world out there, a lot of them don't. But we're free. We're free. As far as I'm concerned, every day is the Sabbath for me. But there are people who don't understand that, and we have one day of rest. And not only for that, but I also equally see it that it is important for family life. And even we are seeing in this country that day of rest, that day for families to get together Sunday, even being eroded. And it's so sad. It is so sad. It really is. So they're the reasons why. But it is that we might have this right stand with God. This place, this standing with him. And that's why we walk close with him. We keep close accounts, because sin will soon bring you out of that rest with God. And if there's sin there, you cannot release faith. Don't even try it. Don't even try it. Get right with God. There we are. Praise God. Well, I trust that this has helped and encouraged us. And for some, it may be today, do something new, Lord, in my life. Father, we thank you this morning. thank you, Father, that in your mercy and grace you have brought us from near and far today, that we should be here. None of us here today are here by mistake or simply coincidence. Lord, we are here today because from eternity, before the foundation of the world, you purposed that we should be. And we praise you, Lord, for that. Father, we thank you on the throne. We thank you, Lord, that we look to you. And that, Father, what is still imbalanced or what is not still right in our life, because you love us, you will help us, you will correct us. You are the great shepherd, ever leading, guiding us, taking us forward, Father. And Lord, I pray that each one of us may have our eyes firmly fixed upon Jesus, and that we will simply yield over as he requires and desires of us certain areas of our life, that we would just allow the Holy Spirit to work and to work through us and to take over. For Lord, we can say, do nothing unless it is revealed to us. So Father, I do ask that you'll preserve, bless and keep all those, and keep them from the evil one and from temptations, till we assemble again. For we ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, Chris.